My guest is Gary Van Sickle, senior contributor to SI.com, former president of Golf Writers Association of America. Gary, always a pleasure to have you on Talking Golf.
Thanks, Anne. And you do not have to call me Mr. President, but if you want to, you can.
I love calling you Mr. President, right? You should run again.
Well, everybody would like an alternative, but
No
let's
comment
not get
there.
into that. Yeah, let's not get into
Exactly.
that.
That's a whole other show. But anyway, let's look at some of the top stories in golf. All right. The big news this week is the PGA Tour Enterprises Player Equity Program announced they will reward 200 PGA Tour players with $1.5 billion in equity. Now, according to an article in Golf Week, $750 million will go to the top 36 players based on a formula that calculates their impact on the game, career success, popularity, et cetera, et cetera. Nearly 200 players will be paid for sticking with the tour. And it also went on to say that Tiger Woods would get 100 million, Rory McIlroy 50 million, and Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas 30 million each. So my question to you, Gary, do you think the PGA Tour players should be awarded this loyalty money?
That's a tricky question. If you look at their value in terms of live money, they are all being grossly underpaid. Tiger Woods, had he gone to live, would have got 10 times, he probably would have got $1 billion. I think he might have turned down $1 billion, if I remember those rumors. But on the other hand, they're being rewarded for not being disloyal. So, I mean, isn't loyalty part of the game? Isn't that supposed to be just automatic? I think a Bobby Jones old quote, somebody said, he called a penalty on himself and he got all those accolades, and he says, "You might as well praise a man for not robbing a bank." And that's how I feel this sort of is, but they're throwing money around. I guess these guys will be happier having gotten their live bonus from the PGA Tour. I mean, that's really what it is. It's a lot of
Right.
money, and it just shows you that the guys who are rich, when you're rich, you can never get enough. And it's that's just human nature.
Well, for the record, I'm not in favor of players jumping to live for the money. And I'm certainly not in favor of the PGA Tour players who stayed on the PGA Tour getting paid to do so. I mean, have we all gone mad here? I know times are changing, Gary, but this is just crazy, but hey, it gives us something to talk about, right?
Well, it does. This group that invested $3 billion into the tour, I don't know how you're going to get that money back. But I talked to a former major champion, and we weren't talking on the record. And I commented, like, well, you've got these Saudis who are scary people, according to Phil Mickelson. And he said, yeah, want to know what's scarier? Investment bankers. They want a return on their money. And what are they going to demand for this in exchange? Okay, here's your $100 million, Tiger. Here's $50 million, Rory. They own you now in a way. So what are they going to do? How are they going to maximize profits? To me, the only way you squeeze more money out of the tour, probably one way is to cut back on charity donations. Another way is to turn every tournament into a business that you own instead of each tournament being run by the community. And I think they'll continue to do what they've already started with these elevated events, signature events. They To make money, it would be better to have, from a TV and everything standpoint, limited field events of 30 or 40 P players, a super tour, which is what Greg Norman really wanted back in the mid 90s. You have a bunch of super tour events, and you get rid of the bottom 100 guys on the money list, and you just let the stars play. And you kill off all your other products. It's much like Coke bringing out Coke Zero and squeezing some of its diet. You're eating your young in a way. So I don't think in the long run this is going to be good for the tour. But right now they're rolling in dough and everybody's happy.
You bring up several good points, and this PGA Tour Enterprises is all part of a joint venture between the PGA Tour and SSG, the Strategic Sports Group, as you mentioned, that will eventually pour $3 billion into the PGA Tour. But yeah, what is the return on investment? How can you make a return on $3 billion? And, you know, we're talking about TV ratings are down and, you know, the PGA Tour is asking all these sponsors now to raise the ante to pay for these signature events and for the $20 million dollar purses now in these signature events. So the model seems a little off to me.
Well, we're just simple media people. I was thinking of Phil Hartman's skit on SNL. I am just a simple caveman. Remember Frozen Caveman Lore? I'm a simple caveman. These guys at SSG are pretty smart. They've proven it. They make a lot of money. They're going to find a way to make the PGA Tour value. Maybe they make a deal with LIV. Okay, you guys come back, and we're going to keep LIV, and we're going to make that like the fall season in play for the same kind of money, and maybe it's just a team event, and maybe they really go all in to franchise these teams as a separate part of the PGA Tour and, you know, the run them like sports franchises with the draft and trades. I don't know. They're smarter than us. They probably have an ace up their sleeve that you and I haven't thought of yet. I mean, I have a lot of respect for those guys, but I also would not want to be in their debt.
The article went on to say in Golf Week, Gary, that the payments will be divvied out over the next 8 years, meaning the players will have to stay loyal to the tour during that time. And going forward, the tour expects to give out $100 million annually to its players. So, you know, you hear everybody dropping the line, growing the game. But I think what we're hearing so far is growing their bank accounts.
Yeah. Well, it bothered me when Rory earlier this year was talking about they need more smaller field events. This is, you know, I said, I don't know how the tour ever got here, having all these big fields. It's like, buddy, have you looked around? The PGA Tour is immensely successful. This formula of having 120 or 144 or 156 players in a field, that's what works. That's what created stars. Look at all the guys who are not instant stars like Rory as a teenager. David Duval or Steve Stricker, Vijay Singh, it takes them a while to get out here. You build stars, and if you just have these limited field events, you're either going to kill off the rest of the tour because you've minimized them, or, you know, the John Deere's are at all those other events are going to turn into the Corn Ferry Tour, and there won't be a Corn Ferry. It's made it sound like, A, he wants money for nothing. He's afraid of the competition and he wants more money. He can beat the competition and he's got more money than he'll ever spend in three lifetimes. But when you're rich, you like to have more, I guess. This is hypothetical for me because I'm not really in that neighborhood. So I understand it, but I think I like the competition and the PGA Tour format's pretty good. And these smaller field of 60 events with no cut, those don't get my blood flowing whatsoever.
I agree with you for sure. And speaking of Rory McIlroy, he said he would return as a member of the policy board, but only if people want him involved. And Webb Simpson said he would resign from the policy board, but only if Rory would take his place. And Rory was quoted as saying that there has not been enough progress towards an agreement that would bring the game back together. So Rory wants to get back on that policy board.
Oh, thank you for gracing us with your presence on the policy board. I know it wasn't put to him that way, and he's just trying to be nice. Like, well, if they want me back, I guess I'd do it. He was on the board before. If there wasn't progress, maybe, you know, well, he could have got it done then. I don't know. Look, I think the PGA Tour's official stance from Monahan on down is we still want to exterminate LIV. We want them to go away completely. And LIV recently hired a bunch of executives, and I don't think they're going to go away. So eventually there's going to be a compromise, and maybe Rory can be part of that. He's changed his mind about the whole thing. He was very anti-LIV. One of the most – he led the player rebellion on LIV, really. And now he's gone to the dark side and he wants reunification. I don't think the average golf fan, do I care about reunification? Well, I don't see Jon Rahm at the Arnold Palmer Invitational or the Bay Hill. I don't see Dustin Johnson at any of these events. Do I really care? Do I really miss them? Somebody else is playing in their spot. I've got other players. I don't have to have John Rahm on my TV to enjoy golf. So I don't think that's a play, but I don't think reunification is necessary. If I was the tour, I'd probably play this the same way. You guys go play. You're off the radar. You're basically in witness protection. You don't get any media. Now, they've got some great events, and they play in Adelaide. They draw huge crowds in Australia because Australia is golf mad, and they don't have a lot of big tournaments. The money from the DP World Tour isn't there. So LIV has some very successful tournaments. I don't think they are going to go away. Well, just let them keep doing their thing, and the PGA can keep doing their thing. I don't think there has to be reunification, but a lot of players on both sides would like it.
That word unification has been the word of the year. And I agree with you. I don't need all these people to play in the same tournaments week after week. I mean, look at the TV ratings for the Masters when all the stars who qualified from LIV and from the PGA Tour were playing in the Masters. And it was reported that the TV ratings for the Masters were the lowest since 2017. So it doesn't seem like that worked. And I, you know, personally to me, viewer watching of golf has totally changed. And so, you know, you have to measure streaming. You have to measure on demand. You have to measure the global audience, which is huge globally for the Masters. But I just don't think unification or reunification is really the answer.
I think we have to call on the wise words of Peaches and Herb. Reunited and it feels so good. That's what they're hoping for. Yeah, you're right. TV ratings are down for all things, not just golf. It's all sports, TV shows. You know, probably started going downhill once Castle went off the air. Jefferson's, I don't know where to put my finger on it, but you're right. People are consuming these entertainment vehicles in a different way, and the ratings on TV are not reflective of it, because if they were, some of these other sports, you know, women's golf does not get good ratings, but people are consuming that other ways too. It's a new day and age. So I don't think the ratings argument, as you said, I don't think that holds any water.
Let's end on a real positive note, Gary Van Sickle. Nelly Korda winning her fifth straight tournament, tying Nancy Lopez's five straight, which Nancy did when she was a rookie in 1978. How great is Nelly Korda? Love watching her swing.
Yeah, she's got a fabulous swing. I could just watch her hit range balls for an hour. She's exactly the women's tour especially needs a superstar. And to be honest, in America, it needs preferably an American superstar, but they need somebody. The narrative is better in golf, men or women, with, you know, a king of the hill or a queen of the hill or whatever you want to call it. She has put herself in that spot right now, and that's great. Now, to really get mainstream media attention, she's got to keep going. You know, it's an uphill battle for the LPGA. They are not getting stories written about them. They're not getting a lot of coverage. So this was the way to get it done, where she's playing so well, she can't be ignored. So my hat's off to her, but I'm not taking it off, because then you'll see my lack of hair. But yeah, kudos to Nelly Korda. She's a phenom, and maybe she can go after Byron Nelson's record of 11 in a row. Let's put that on the radar. That would be something.
Keep it going, Nelly Korda. Just a pleasure to watch her, and Scottie Scheffler, who is equally as incredible on the course. So a lot to focus on from a positive sense, Gary Van Sickle in golf, Nelly Korda, Scottie Scheffler, and we'll see what happens with the rest of this, quote, unification dilemma, right? Thank you so much for joining me here on Talking Golf, and you're looking good. We're recording this interview on Zoom. It looks like a beautiful day in Pittsburgh, and I know you already shot a course record on the golf course wherever you are.
Well, my scorecard hasn't been authenticated yet, so we'll have to wait and see on that. Thanks, Ann.
Thanks so much. Gary Van Sickle, SI.com. Thanks for being on Talking Golf.